We're going to hear a story of a couple in our church. I'm going to introduce them, and I'm going to have some verses I'm going to read, then I'm going to set them up and ask them a few questions. They're going to share their story about their beginning, I would say where they ended up, and then how God did an amazing thing in their life and how they're here to tell it today. And I think all of us can receive from it today and be encouraged today. And then after the service, if you can't hang out for a little bit, and you know, adults, get in the bouncy house, jump around a little bit. Knock some kids over and say, this is my turn, amen. just kidding. But check out the groups and just kind of hang out for a little bit. We would love the chance to serve you. And I believe it'll be a great day. So our couple today is Cliff and Stacy Marshall. And Cliff is the head strength coach for the men's basketball team at Indiana University. And Stacy leads a ministry particularly to female college athletes on IU's campus across several sports. And they do great stuff. We're honored that they're here. Can you help me welcome Coach Cliff and Stacy Marshall? It's going to be great today. Great to have you in our church. Great to have you today on the stage. We love you guys, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having us, PD. We are humbled and honored to be here today with you guys. We have a testimony. We have a story to share, and I believe every time we share our story, Satan is defeated, and so today he's going to take a nail.
Come on, let's get it.
Cliff is normally the one asked to come on the big stage to share our story, and he does such an awesome job doing so. So it's a miraculous effort for me to be up here today, but the Lord needs some hair up here.
And we are not related. All bald white guys are not related, all right? They don't look alike, I'm telling you. Yeah, it's great to have you, and your story is inspirational, and I'm just going to set them up like I mentioned, and I believe we're going to receive today. And so our title is From a Mess to a Miracle. How many have ever made a mess of your life before? Anyway, and I believe God has a way of bringing a miracle out of our mistakes and out of our mess. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. I want to read these verses. We're going to use these verses as the backdrop of their story today and how we weave in the scripture and how we apply it to our life from this message. The Apostle Peter says this, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." How many receive that? That's a great verse for us. And then he says, stay alert. Notice this, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this great day. Please receive our worship. We ask you, Lord, for more Holy Spirit in this place and online today. Lord, we ask right now that we are safe in this moment as we go about our week, and that all of us would take the courageous step and lay down any resistance. We would set aside any distraction. We would lean in for a few moments and receive something from you today. Jesus would give you all the glory and all the honor. And everyone said, amen. From a mess to a miracle. I want to just highlight a few things I see in these verses, and then I want to begin to ask them to share their story with us today. If you're taking notes, just notice a few things. First off, these verses are very powerful. I love to preach from them. There's so many great things in them. But what stands out to me is, of course, you know, it starts off with you and I humbling ourselves under God's hand or under the power of God. Then he lifts us up. And then you and I have the ability to give all of our anxiety, one version says, or all of our worries over to God because he cares about us. And then in verse 8, notice he says, stay alert. Everyone say, stay alert, please. And he says, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. So right there, you know, we are up against an enemy, and your spouse is not your enemy. Amen. Not a lot of response. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. Ohio State is our enemy, though. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to tell you that. Get out. Anyway, let's keep going. But we do have an enemy, and it's the devil. And then he says, stay alert, watch out. Notice he prowls around like a lion. So he's looking for vulnerability. He's looking for someone that's vulnerable. That also tells me that not everyone is vulnerable in the same way. So you and I can do things to protect ourselves, and you're going to hear about that today, where we're not vulnerable for the enemy maybe to devour us or really hurt us. You know, also what speaks to me is that God is watching and moving all the time. The Bible says that God, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I've heard this before, you know, the devil never stops working or he's always busy. Well, God's busy too. He's helping his people and he's reaching for people all over the world all the time. And so I want to encourage you, as you hear their story, to stay alert and really, we're going to come back to that here in a moment, and understand that God has something great for you and that God wants to protect you. And if you and I do our part, I believe God does his part. And somebody say amen. So guys, please share, if you will, the beginning of your story, how you guys got together, and the initial phase of your lives together.
So Cliff and I grew up in a small rural town in central Kentucky, and you can clearly tell that by my accent. So we are high school sweethearts, and I was a varsity cheerleader chasing after the star quarterback at our high school, local high school. And so we've been together 28 years and 20 years married this week. Hallelujah. We were raised in homes where faith was important and we attended church regularly. However, as we've matured in our faith, we've learned that we did religion. We didn't have a relationship. And so we continued our education. We graduated high school. Cliff went on to the University of Louisville, where he began his stint in coaching. And then I attended school at the University of Kentucky, which is about 90 miles east of Louisville, where I managed and coached at an all-star competitive cheerleading facility there in Lexington. And so we were highly committed to our jobs. They were our life, and we still dated during that period of time. However, it was that time away from each other, that long-distance relationship, where we feel that Satan attacked us. Because we were most vulnerable during that period of time.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and I'll just backtrack a little bit, PD. You know, at 15 years old, we began dating. So, you know, high school sweethearts, that's cool, that's cute, right? But it's also very messy because we were so immature. And me specifically, at a very young age in high school, I started experimenting with alcohol, drugs, and sexual sin. And that took me down a dark and dangerous path for many years. And that obviously had a strain on our relationship.
Yeah. And really, when you think about, you know, what that time was in the beginning, you were starting off, I'm sure, good things. But also there was, you know, definitely an unstable, you know, part to your relationship that led to other things. And I want to encourage us today, as they get ready to share what that led into, as they were describing, that really in our life and faith, just think dominoes. All of us have seen dominoes. And, you know, I believe as we walk with God, that domino can fall and ripple in a good way and bring blessings that are beyond our imagination. Also, that can happen in the negative. And so I want to encourage you that when you think about what the devil wants for our lives, is for those dominoes to begin to cascade downward, if you will, and really build a momentum in a wrong direction. What God wants to do is really bring blessings beyond our lifetime down to the next generation. And I believe the blessing of the Lord is beyond our ability at times to process. And so, you know, please be encouraged today that, you know, whether you feel like God is moving in your life, everything we do for God, it counts for something. Mm-hmm. I would also say that if you think you're getting away with something, that you're not. And that dominoes are falling either way. And no one's perfect, and we're, you know, we're human. But, you know, it's our part to say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to choose you and go with you. So in light of where you were sharing up to that point, where did that take you? Where did this a posture take you guys, and what happened?
Well, it left us in a very vulnerable position. You shared the verse from Peter that says, Satan, you know, the enemy, he roars like a lion looking for someone to devour. And that's what he was doing in our relationship at a very early age. But in 2004, at 23 years old, we decided to get married. And we reaped many, many bad decisions from years of just living the way we wanted to live. You know, we lacked self-control. And that took a toll definitely on our marriage. And in 2008, me specifically, I was struggling with alcohol. And that was something in our marriage that had been an issue. And I'll never forget on Halloween of that year, I had been at a party and had drank way too much and made a terrible decision to get behind the wheel. And as I was driving up the interstate at about 2 a.m., a state police pulled out from behind me and followed me for probably 2 to 3 miles. And as he was following me, I cried out to God to save me and to spare me of this DUI and this arrest and to help me get over this addiction to alcohol. And the state cop in that moment did a U-turn in the median and went the opposite direction. And I'll never forget, I had a six-pack of beer in the passenger seat right next to me. And I took the six-pack, rolled down my window, and threw it out on the interstate. And I can still hear that. Thank you. I can still hear those bottles breaking on the concrete, a vivid memory that I have. But I stand before you today, and this year I'll celebrate 15 years of sobriety.
Come on. Before you share, Stacy, I liked what you said in a walkthrough. What was that statement? You said, we can choose our sin, but we can't choose our consequences. Maybe say that, if I'm saying that wrong, if can, say that to us, please.
Yeah, no, I think for us, you know, as we look back and as we reflect on those years that we were, you know, numb and dumb, so to speak, that we did. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences.
So good.
And we were reaping those consequences of many years of poor decisions.
Mm-hmm. Stacy?
At this same time, my struggle really wasn't alcohol. Mine was identity struggles. And the profession was shaping me at that time, my cheerleading industry, that was shaping me into who it thought and what it thought I should be. And so out of that came spending foolishly, partying, lying, lack of self-control. And I would say lived a double life for so long. And when I mean double life, I mean I was attending church on Sunday and signing my emails with scripture. But behind the scenes, I was living a very dark and reckless lifestyle. Mm. And so I wasn't mature in my faith to know at that point that what I was doing is I was seeking the pleasures of this world. And I thought that the world and Cliff should fulfill me. But what I learned very quickly as I matured in my faith is that no man, none of this world will ever fulfill you.
So good.
But God can.
Yes.
And God will and God
yes.
does.
Love that. Great time. Love that. Yeah. And I love what you said there, and I had you repeat that in the other service, that it's not, you know, Cliff or the world that's going to fulfill you, but it's God. And I think sometimes, you know, we can think that it's our spouse, or if I get that right person, then I'll be fulfilled. If I get this paycheck, then I'll get fulfilled. If I can do this, then I'll get fulfilled. If I can live in this place, then I'll be fulfilled. And any frame of thought like that is not true. Because the only one that will fulfill us is God. And then from that fulfillment comes more of a wholeness in our marriages, in our relationships, and really wherever we are. And God wants to do it. And I want you to think about what they are sharing here in the beginning and the origin of their story. And then, you know, I would say their struggle with God, their personal struggles, where it took them. And then we're going to hear how God redeemed them here in a minute. But I want you to think about, as I mentioned, what the scripture is saying here that we read, that he says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. And, you know, Coach Cliff was involved in football for a while. Obviously, he's doing basketball now. But But in football, there's this a phrase that says, you know, keep your head on a swivel, which is to keep looking both ways, because if you don't, then you're going to get hit, and the worst hits you take are the ones you don't see coming. And I would say in our spiritual life, the worst hits we take are the ones we don't see coming, because we're not alert, we're spiritually asleep, or we're not paying attention, or whatever. And then all of a sudden we get hit and we didn't even know what happened. So I want to encourage all of us today, no one is above, I would say, being attacked. No one is beyond it. All of us are human and we're living in this world. And we're going to face different things. What we can do is you and I can choose to stay alert and to watch out and to have our head on a swivel spiritually and keep focused as to what's going on and really stay focused on Jesus. Because remember, I was saying earlier that not everyone is vulnerable at the same way or in the same ways or at the same level. Some people are more vulnerable, and you're going to hear a great insight here in a little bit of how to block off that vulnerability and be safe with God. I want to encourage you all today that who you're fighting against is not each other. It's ultimately, in the end, it's really the enemy. Mm-hmm. And you and I can overcome. Can someone say amen? Amen. We can overcome. And so, and with that being said, how did you guys overcome? How did you stand firm? Guess what Peter says here, stand firm in your faith, or stand firm against the enemy. How did you guys do that and really see God begin to change this?
Well, I can remember Thanksgiving of 2008, and we were separated. We were living apart, and there was a lot of envy, jealousy, hatred, and bitterness, because many of things had been revealed, like unfaithfulness in our marriage. And some people around us were telling us to divorce, so I was looking at attorneys that I could talk to about that. But one family member encouraged me to reach out to a Christian counselor back in our hometown. And I ended up doing that, and I'll never forget the conversation I had with this counselor. He told me, he said, Cliff, the world will tell you to follow your heart, but the Bible will tell you to lead your heart.
So good. Say that again, please.
The world will tell you to follow your heart, but the Bible will tell you to lead your heart.
Yeah.
In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So how can anyone trust it? And so about a week passes, and Stacy agrees to meet in person with this Christian counselor. And during that time, we decided to do a book called The Love Dare. It's a 40-day journal. And we began unpacking many things that were wrong with our relationship. And that led us to December 16th, 2008. And on that night, we became born again, I believe, through a tough conversation. We found ourselves at a church just outside Cincinnati, Ohio. The church was obviously closed because it was about midnight, but we drove up to this church, and there was a cross outside about 15 to 20 foot that was lit up. And we drove up to the cross, got out of the car, crying tears. We walked up to the cross, and we fell to our knees, and we asked God to forgive us, to save us, and to redeem our marriage. So to answer your question, how do we stand firm? I think there was a song that was sang this morning, said, God, turn it around.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And in the Bible, that's called repentance. And in basketball, that's called pivoting.
Come on.
We had to make a pivot, right? We live in a basketball state. I coach at a basketball school, go Hoosiers.
Come on.
And our pastor, PD, was a basketball player growing up, even through college. So I want PD to demo for everybody in the audience today what a proper pivot would look like.
Come on.
There it is, right there. He had to pivot. And pivoting... Again, pivoting for us as Christians is called repentance, right? You come to a situation and you see, I have to stop and analyze and pivot and go in the opposite direction. And you talked about the devil, right? He's our adversary. He's our opponent.
Yeah.
And in basketball, when you have a defender in front of you, you have to come to that stop and find a way to get around that defender. And that's exactly what we had to do in order to save our marriage.
So cool.
The pivot for me per se was it was the urgency to make significant changes in my life. I had to cut off many people, places, and things. And so the temptation was so powerful and the environment that I was living in was so destructive to my marriage that I made my pivot and I left my career. And so for me, that was really tough because I had, every year I'd been elevated within the cheerleading industry. And so I was at the top of my career at that point. And so I had to pivot and I had to lay that career at the feet of Jesus and turn around and begin a new life with Cliff and above all, a new life with Jesus.
Wow, isn't that amazing? I wanted to ask you, amen. Two things on that. I love how you said that the temptation was so strong, you had to cut off places and people and really get yourself out of a vulnerable place and get yourself in a safer place. And that speaks to all of us. You know, today, you know, it does us no good to put ourselves around wrong people and in wrong places and then try to do our best to go against, you know, that. We're setting ourselves up. I heard someone say, it's really easy to do wrong with the wrong people, but it's really easy to do right with the right people. Mm-hmm. And so you got to get yourself around the right people. And notice what she did. She was willing to cut off, you know, the vulnerabilities there. And that even was people and your career. And so you left that dream and you now have this dream. What has that been like for you to let go of that dream and then grab onto a new one?
Well, inside of any career, it's a fast-paced life, and cheerleading is that. And when you're managing over 300 cheerleaders and you're running an organization, it was time-consuming. And so for the first year that I left cheerleading, I literally used that time and had serenity and peace. Mm. Cliff actually, at that point in his career, was making enough money to support both of us. And so it was just beautiful how God orchestrated that because I needed to get myself right. Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't love me, I certainly wasn't going to love him.
Yeah, it's good.
And so he used that time of peace and serenity and pruned me.
Yeah, I love that. And so I want to encourage you guys today, if you're around wrong people, I would encourage you to change and be around different people. And even if they're your true friends, then start having boundaries and stay away. And then if you're in wrong places, stop going there.
Right.
And let's go to right places.
Right.
And let's stop being vulnerable, putting ourselves in a vulnerable situation as the enemy is looking for who that person is. Let's get out of that situation. Let's get ourselves in a safe situation and let God help us. So what was a big key? You received Christ. And really, you're seeing, you know, we're seeing them, you know, follow you. Humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, under the power of God, individually and as a couple. You know, you're giving him your worries, your pain, your all the junk. You're giving them that, and he's working. You're becoming, you know, firm and you're alert. What were some key things to really help you get solidified as you were starting this new journey? You quit your career. Now you have a new family, so to speak. You know, so what was that in a practical sense? How did that play out for you?
Well, I think, you know, finding new people. And I think, you know, for me, being a strength coach for 23 years now, at nearly every stop I've had, be it the NFL, college football, or now college basketball, somewhere within the weight room walls or even on a T-shirt, there is a slogan that says, iron sharpens iron. And that's from a Bible verse, Proverbs 27:17, that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Yeah.
And so what we had to do after we made the pivot is we had to run for help. And our help was the accountability partners that we found at our church in a small group. We joined a small group of young couples. These couples, they loved us right where we were. They didn't judge us, and they held us accountable. And I think that was critical to the success of our marriage.
Like I said, when I left my career, those were my people. And so when I had to make the significant changes, I didn't know where to go to find people that lined their life up like mine. And so like Cliff said, when we first joined this church in Northern Kentucky, God purposely orchestrated a great group that met at our church, and it was titled Real Sex. And so we were in the room with all these young couples talking about purity, not only as single adults, but also married. Yeah. And so Cliff's right. Like, we had to totally make new friends. And out of that, it was from the church and from our small groups where we met our people.
I love that. And really, a notice back to our scripture here today, guys, and this is powerful. In verse 9, he says, stand firm against him, against the enemy. And then he says, and be strong in your faith. And then he says, remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So your story may not be exactly like their story or my story, but all of us have commonality because we're human. And all of us face things that are real and that at times are too much for us to bear. I say it this way, the equation for victory in our lives in God is God plus me, plus the right people equals victory.
Yes.
Because there are certain things that come at us that we can't defeat on our own. Other things, maybe we can. But I guarantee there'll be something that comes our way that we can't do it on our own. We have to have God and other people to help us overcome. And so notice what they did. And so they come to Jesus, they get into a church, and they get into a small group on real sex. And then they begin to start their lives basically over. Your marriage is being reshaped, reformed, relaid out, by God and his principles. And this speaks to all of us. Now, today is our summer groups launch. But this speaks to us here because at some point in our faith, the strategy of God, and God, I believe this is, it's clear in the New Testament, that we have big gatherings like this, which are fun. But also we need to have smaller gatherings. And groups here at City help this big church become small. And I said this earlier, and I want to say it again. There's a stat that was found after studying church sizes, and it blew those that were studying this away, because they found that churches of 100 people or less, the people in those churches knew everyone's name, but they discovered that their community, as far as hanging out, having lunches or dinners or whatever, was about 40 people. Then they studied churches of 1,000 people or more, and they realized that that people in those size of churches, their community was 40 people. So in either size of a church, it was the same. So perception is not reality. Well, that's a big church. It's too big for me. Well, actually, this church can be real small through groups. And really, in a small church or a big church, it's going to be about 25 to about 40 people. And when you and I have a group to go to, it builds commonality that we realize that I'm not that much different than them, and that we share a common thread, that we're all human, that we're all needing, Jesus, we all need healing, and we all have a story. They have a story. We have a story. And when we come together, it just supports us. And remember, healthy churches don't try to get something from you. They're trying to help God come through you. And so if you're not ready today, I'm not here to, pressure anybody, but I would say this, at some point in your faith, I would say it's important to go from a big room to a small room, or go from a row to a circle, and find out that we all need support. And I love, happened for you guys. And so with that being said, how would you encourage us today and speak to us today?
Well, I think, just to piggyback real quickly on what you said in small groups, at first we were kind of scared to join a group and to share our story, but we had to get out of our comfort zone.
That's good.
Right? In order to grow. And I tell my athletes that all the time. You don't grow in your comfort zone, so it's my job to make you uncomfortable when we work out. Our faith journey is no different.
That's
we good. Have to get out of our comfort
That's
zone.
So good.
And I think just in closing, my encouragement today is that all pain has purpose. And God doesn't cause pain, but he can use pain to draw us closer to him. And that's what he did with Stacy
so
and
good.
I.
So good.
Thank you. We had to lose our marriage to save our marriage. And we had to lose our life in order to save our life. And had we let Satan win, we wouldn't have stood before you today.
Right.
We wouldn't have two beautiful kids sitting right here on the front row, a 9-year-old boy and a 13-year-old daughter. We wouldn't have a ministry here in Bloomington. And I just know the Bible verse, John 10:10, is a life verse for me. It says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That was his agenda for our marriage. But it later goes on to say, but I, Jesus, come to give you life.
Yes.
And life to the full.
Yes.
And that's what we're living now.
Come on. Let's amen. Give it up for that. Let's show those pictures real quick, guys. This is their family. Come on. It's a miracle. And Stacy, do you want to share about that picture?
So this is Indiana softball team, and I had two girls this year, about a month ago, come forward and give their life to Christ out of our group. So
from a mess to a miracle. What would you want to share with us today?
I just want to say God makes no mistakes, and he places people purposely on your spiritual journey. And so you find your people in the church. You find your people in your small groups. And truly, back in Kentucky, when we joined our small group, they helped us heal. They helped us piece our hearts back together. And so your faith, it takes action. God physically cannot come to earth and give you people, but he can through his Holy Spirit and through the resources of church give you people that you're to surround yourself with. And so as believers, we all have a calling that's very similar, and that's to love God and to love people.
So good.
But we also have assignments, because when you're given the resources from the church, your small group, he encourages us to multiply for his kingdom.
Yeah.
And so your assignments, depending on what season of life you're in, involves people, but the assignments change. And I'm excited to share that, you know, our assignment, my current assignment, is leading here at Indiana University female athletes inside our home, just loving them, leading them, as a lot of times their identity is caught up in trophies and accolades and who has, you know, what the world has put on their shoulders. And so I'm grateful and thankful that back in Kentucky, he pruned me for his assignment here at IU.
Come on, isn't that awesome? And I love too, in our walkthrough, you said that in the group, a new couple came into that group who is now missionaries to Peru. But when they came to that group, they had a similar story, maybe struggling, maybe new. I forget how you said that. But as they shared their struggle, you realized, if you can share that and what that moment did for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Cliff said earlier, you know, for a long time, we were so shameful and we were so embarrassed of our lifestyle that we lived, you know, especially around the sexual sin and the lying and what we partook in, that we were so ashamed of it, felt dirty. But I remember this couple specifically shared their stories, and as they're sharing their story, chains fell off of me.
Come on.
Because I finally was like, okay, it's okay to tell your story, because God is glorified. And anytime you can glorify God, you know, he is the victory.
Yeah. Come on, isn't that great? And so I want to encourage all of you that when you step out and tell your story one-on-one or whatever it is, that the shame breaks off of our lives. The embarrassment breaks off. Because when we talk about where God has brought us from, we get set free, and then someone else can realize they can be set free too. And God wants to use all of you, all of us, right where we're at right now. Come on, let's give God praise for that. You can do it. Excellent, excellent job today. Cliff, you want to just pray for us and encourage us today?
Yeah, I'll lead us in prayer. Father God, we come to you today and we just thank you for this opportunity to gather as believers. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and for saving us. We are all sinners in need of a Savior.
Yes.
And that's why you came to earth, Lord Jesus. We praise you for the church here and PD and his family and everything that they do, Lord. Help us to continue to grow, Lord. And as we leave here today, keep us safe, keep us healthy, but above all, keep us faithful to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Give it up to Cliff and Stacy. Great job today. Love you guys. Powerful. And I want to lead you here in this moment, and let's take our next step in our faith. And so in the room and online today, if you don't mind, please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven. We do this. We're not here to embarrass anybody, but we are here to help everybody move forward in their faith. And that's why we ask you to bow your head and bow your heart. And in the room and online today, please let the online host know your response to this. But if you have never received Jesus, that means you've never said out loud, Jesus, save me. Then I pray today is your day to receive Jesus. And or maybe you have done that before in your life, but in this moment, you don't feel like you have peace with God and you want to make that right and have that peace. So as heads are bowed and hearts are bowed, and you would say, Pastor Dave, I want to receive Christ for the first time and or recommit my life to God and have peace with him. If that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand. I just want to see you. I want to pray for you today in this room. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. Excellent. Thank you. God bless you. Good. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. Excellent. Excellent. Good. God bless you in the back. Come on, give it up. These people coming to you. God bless you. I see it. Good. 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 Excellent today. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us to do that. And then how many would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I may be in a mess and I want God to turn it into a miracle. I want to be alert. I want to watch out for the enemy. I want to do what I need to do to not put myself in a vulnerable situation and be protected in what God has for me. And I want God's help. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online. Thank you. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, take my mess and turn it into a miracle. Use me for your glory. I believe you can, and I believe you will. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Let's give him one more great cup of praise today for that.